Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and thank you so much for downloading this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. If you're a regular listener, you know that we bring you all the up-to-date guitar news and a load of other stuff as well. If you fancy supporting the podcast and helping us do what we do every single week, you can go to patreon.com/guitar nerds. Now, you can support us at a few different price points, but even at the $1 tier, we give something back. You get the regular episode every week, ad-free and early. That's patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hi, gang.
And Joe Branton.
Hello.
Blimey. As you can hear, unfortunately, the gang is all here. Everyone is in the house today because Summer NAMM was SNAMM. This week.
Yeah, SNAMM. I tell you what, everybody's been talking about it as SNAMM.
Who said SNAMM?
I've seen it on the internet.
Yeah, the internet's called it SNAMM.
It's because the hashtag is hashtag SNAMM. SNAMM.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, it's been Summer NAMM before. Yeah. Now it's SNAMM.
How do you feel about
it? It's weird though, because everyone at work has called it SNAMM just put in an email SNAMM. And I've got a feeling that's what it's been for a long time, and we're just losers that didn't realise.
No, but it's not, the other one's not WNAMM. So why is this one SNAMM?
WAM. They
no,
just call that
Winter NAMM is just NAMM. Or NAM.
NAMM. It's not, it can't be NAM. It's not a soft A. It's not like
SNAM.
It's not, I don't like, want it to it's be not called like SNAM. Dance. It's not like dance or dance. It's an acronym.
To get back to the original point,
SNAMM.
Summer NAMM was last, well, I guess it was last weekend, wasn't it?
Called it SNAMM.
Summer NAMM was last weekend, and lots of new products. Obviously, for those not in the know, this is the kind of the second biggest trade show, I guess. Certainly for guitars. There is Music Messe as well, which covers a whole bunch of other stuff. But Summer NAMM primarily now seems to be a guitar show, which takes place in the summer every year. Loads of new product releases before, during, and afterwards. So we've basically got a news-packed show this week. We probably won't get around to any questions. Probably won't cover any other topics. It's probably just going to be
nudes.
Indeed. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to run down all the new product releases, give you a bit of info about them, give you our thoughts on them, and then in this week's Patreon, we're going to do a bit of a kind of a Summer NAMM debrief, I think.
SNAMM.
SNAMM debrief, where we go over a few more things that were released and just our thoughts on the show, where things are going, what we think will be coming out in the winter, and all of that good stuff. So, should we get down to some SNAMM
nudes?
I enjoy that very much. So, first up, from Epiphone, brand new SL and Thunderbird models.
Well, yes. So this is really cool. Epiphone actually did way more than that. They released a whole chunk of stuff, and all of it is absolutely amazing. This has to be the best, coolest, and most interesting line of new Epiphone guitars, like maybe in the last decade. They are all great looking. But yes, you're right to
I picked these two out basically because they're definitely the most interesting.
Absolutely. So the SL Les Paul, or the Les Paul SL by Epiphone, is kind, it's a $99 guitar.
Yep.
It's a Les Paul Junior type thing, but crucially, is fitted with two single coils, and most importantly, comes in an incredible range of colours. So you get Heritage Cherry, and you get like a vintage Sunburst, which
boring.
Both come with
both
a black
boring.
Scratch plate. So they look totally cool. And then they do Ebony as well.
So you've gone for the three most boring ones first.
So the colours that are really super cool are they've released Pacific Blue, Turquoise, and most important, Sunset Yellow.
Yes.
All with white scratch plates and these cool black single coil pickups on a bolt-on Les Paul Junior body with a completely new and unique scratch plate, which is totally like surf cool.
Yes. So they're kind of strap pickups by the looks of things.
Yeah.
And I mean, it looks just like what they call the Les Paul Special 2, basically. It's that kind of
that
junior
sort of
style body.
But they've kind of managed to make it look like, it looks like one of those old like 60s Italian sort of things. I think this is such a great release.
I think they look absolutely fantastic.
For $99, like, think about that. Like your first guitar, like our first guitars were all like black Affinity Strats.
Mine was a PV Raptor in Sunburst, I think.
Mine was a DeArmond Les Paul.
Oh yeah,
with
that's actually quite good.
It was a great guitar. Great guitar, yeah.
But you know, most people start on really bland looking guitars, and to get the option to have your first guitar being like a single coil Les Paul in Sunset Yellow,
I mean, they are very cool looking.
I actually am not convinced that that is who Epiphone are going for with this guitar. I think that that's probably a byproduct, but I think this is aimed at people who have maybe moved away from Gibson and Epiphone over the last few years because they've become a little bit too regimented.
Right.
I think this has been basically built as a really basic starter guitar for you to just do loads of mods to. That's the way that I've been seeing it, because the sort of previews that I've seen of this, I saw Ryan from 60 Cycle Hum he got his hands on one, and he said, you know, the pickups don't sound great, the tuners are super basic, but I mean, that's all part and parcel of a guitar that you can spend some time and some money modding to yourself. I really liked his suggestion of imagine sticking some lipsticks on one of those.
Yes,
100%. How good would that be?
It's also a poplar body, so it's going to have way more of like a Fendery sort of sound than like poplar's closer to
it's a bit brighter.
Well, it's closer to Alder in sort of sonic terms than the normal mahogany that that Epiphone make loads of things in. But yeah, definitely maybe the most exciting guitar release of SNAMM, I think.
Stop saying SNAMM. we were going to talk about the Thunderbirds, which we will do in a minute, but also you've just brought up on the screen
one of the weirdest
/ coolest things Epiphone have done.
So they released three basses.
In memory.
Three basses. Actually, all of them pretty cool and unique. The Master Built BILT series. So that's been around for a while, listeners, if you haven't checked them out. They're kind of a range of like pickupless arch tops, so piezo-driven arch tops that look super cool.
Master Built over the years have been many things, actually. They've been like the next step up from the standard line. So there was a long range of Master Built acoustics that were, rather than being £200 to £300, they were £400 to £500.
Well, yes, the current Master Built series is averagely in the £1,000.
Oh, right, okay,
mark,
wow. Okay.
Which is exactly what this is. This is $1,000, and they have released a Master Built Deluxe Classic bass. So it's a four-string acoustic bass, but with FOs instead of like a central hole, and the whole sort of like Master Built has this sort of like Art Deco-y sort of feel to
definitely.
It. The whole look of them. So, like, an acoustic bass, like, with F holes and no sound hole is incredibly unique. Anyway, I think it looks totally awesome. I can't wait to hear what they sound like. They really look cool.
Piezo pickup in there?
Yeah, it is.
Right. Okay, do we know what the scale length is as well? Because they look really small. When I first saw it, I was like, have they released some sort of like tenor arch top?
Nah, they haven't said, but it will be 30-inch scale. It'll be 30.5-inch scale.
It just looks very small for a bass.
And then two other basses. They released the Epiphone Embassy Pro, which is totally cool. So the guitar equivalent of the Embassy is the Wiltshire.
Yep.
So this is a Wiltshire bass, which is, it just looks incredibly cool. And they've done this and a Thunderbird, also in ebony, with, unfortunately, they've gone for that standard that version of the Thunderbird, so it is bolt-on, which is,
which is
a bit of a shame.
But crucially,
comes with these massive chrome humbuckers, mud buckers.
So similar to the kind of 70s ones, I believe, or late 60s. If you see a late 60s Thunderbird, the pickups on there look like this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think these, especially the Epiphone Embassy, if they can manage to actually get some stock of these ones over here, then I think they're $399.
Glued neck.
I'm not sure. There's not that much information available on them just yet.
I would think that they are because they've got the Pro name.
I would imagine.
The Thunderbirds Pros, though.
They are, but if you look at the body picture that they've released, there is a slight difference in the body shape between the Pro and the Standard.
Okay.
And it is the shape of the Standard. It has the weird little cutaway pieces that they use on
But maybe
bolt-on.
Maybe they've... They might be glued neck, you know, and I hope they are.
I could
are.
Be wrong. Yeah, it would be great if I'm wrong. It would be great. But anyway, like, those are bases. People don't especially care about bases. So, yes, the SL Les Pauls, they were super cool.
That's going to be the one, isn't it?
That's going to be the one, yeah.
Like you say, it's a really good starter platform, but also a really good platform for doing mods. You know, if you were to stick... I mean, you could put anything in there, really, if you wanted to. You could put P90s, humbuckers... Yeah. If you wanted to kind of route it out a little bit, but also
I wonder if they're already routed out though. I'm wondering if it's a Les Paul
Junior Special
LP100. No, I wonder if it's an LP100.
Well, no, because they're carve top.
Yeah,
are they? No, yeah. The LP100s aren't.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Well, which is the is it the Special? That's
yeah,
not?
Yeah, Les Paul Special 2.
Les Paul Special 2. Yeah, not the Junior. Yeah. Les Paul Special 2. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Is it that, and it's just a different plate?
I think it might be. I think it might be. Yeah.
So maybe.
So it could be humbucker routed underneath.
Funnily enough, the other release, I know we need to move on, but the other release was, do you remember the Centuries? Do you remember?
Yes.
They've.
We were saying, do you know what? These are probably inspired by that James Bay fella who plays them.
Yeah. They've actually put out a James Bay signature.
See, my thought is they made it and went, do you know what's cool? Epiphones. You know, those Century ones. Yeah, let's put out a reissue of that. And then they did it and then went, oh, wait, do you know there's like some famous fella who's playing one over in the UK? Oh, quick, better stick out a
signature model.
I wonder if it's more
reactionary than...
Completely the same. I don't think it is at all. I think that James Bay popularised that guitar. I actually, when I saw this, I thought, hang on a sec, this isn't new news.
Yeah, totally. I was like, wait.
We talked about this weeks ago, didn't talk about it weeks ago. We talked about the reissue. Yeah,
Sometimes things like that happen where, you know, the guitar gets into the market, we all are talking about it, and then like 2 months down the line, there's actually a press release. And I thought that's what had happened.
No, yeah, it is a new model.
Okay, right.
Even though it's a new model in a colour that was available, and as far as I can tell...
No difference.
I can't see a difference. I'm sure there is. Maybe his signature is on it, and I think that may be the only difference. But this one is specifically a 66 reissue.
Okay.
Maybe there's something different in the pickup one. I don't know. Anyway, it's $799.
Okay, that seems reasonable for Epiphone stuff.
Yeah, well, I would say that's pretty premium.
I think it's following on the trend that we've been seeing over the last 12 months or so of Epiphone bringing out expensive signature model guitars.
Yeah.
And also, crucially, this is another one of the expensive signature Epiphone guitars that isn't a Les Paul and therefore will not have the headstock that turns so many people off.
It's got a, you know, like a regular Epiphone archtop headstock, which is super cool. I don't think it's too much money, actually, when you consider
that's quite a lot of money.
I think it's a lot of money when the SL Les Paul is $99.
Well, sure,
but then also it's a lot of money in comparison to the reissues. I can't remember what that was. I think it was $549.
Yeah.
It does seem a little
expensive.
Eastman are doing one for just shy of £1,000 as well, and it's not far enough away from being able to get an Eastman, which is a much higher quality instrument.
Yeah. Do they do a version of the Century?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I did not know that. Another big signature guitar released last week was the Fender Brad Paisley Telecaster. Jay, do you want to tell us a bit about it?
This is going to be Marmite, isn't it? This one.
I want it.
Yeah, of course, Matt Knight likes it. It's Silver Sparkle. I think this is really cool. So there's a couple of things to this. This is part of the Road Worn series, so it's a nitro finish. Always interesting to see a nitro finish sparkle guitar because they just wear away in such a
weird manner.
But being able to do that affordably, I think that's remarkable that Fender have managed to put this out.
I mean, bear in mind that when I looked to get my guitar refinished in a sparkle finish, they were going to charge me £300. And then to wear that back to a kind of relic, even more than that, you know. So, yeah, it's an expensive process.
Yeah, completely. So the other thing with this is it is extremely light. So it uses a bit of a weird body shape, a body construction. In the it's a Paul Wiener.
Everyone called Paul. Yeah. They've got hold of their wieners and they've made a load of guitars out of them.
Paul Wiener. So it's a Paul Wiener sandwich in between two slices of spruce.
It's Paul's wiener in a sandwich.
In a spruce sandwich. Yeah. Okay. It's really, really light. Really, really light. And
yeah, I heard that they're trying to make sure that everyone is £7 or under.
Oh, right.
I saw in a video.
What?
So, I mean, that's pretty crazy.
Why didn't he just make it hollow?
Well, because the hollow guitars do sound different, don't they?
Better,
super light ones.
So yeah, and then the other thing with it is it's got a it's a twisted telly in the neck, and then a Brad Paisley signature pickup in the bridge.
That's
which
new.
I reckon is probably just okay. Here's what we're gonna do. See all those low frequencies. Get rid of them.
Yep.
Get rid of them.
Just top end.
Just get rid of them.
Twangy.
Yeah. So it's a really, really lovely guitar, actually.
I wonder if they're going to do those separately, those Brad Paisley pickups, because I think that would be quite popular.
I don't know. I don't think they will. I don't think that will happen because I don't think it's happened in the past.
Okay.
I wish it came with a clear scratch plate.
That is the only thing that I don't like. I don't want clear. I just want like white or black. Like I don't like the Paisley scratch plate. And I know Matt is going to be up in arms about this.
Considering his name, I think it needed to have something Paisley about it.
I'll just have a pack of ham on the front of my guitar.
I would rather have a different scratch plate, I must admit. Yes. Paisley, I've seen those scratch plates before, and that I always thought they kind of looked... In a way, I think it kind of like cheapens it.
100%.
I would just put a black scratch plate on, like a single ply, Bakelite style black plate on it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree, but
easy is it to change a telly scratch plate?
Like, completely, and you know, it's it looks fantastic.
You can get a relict silver sparkle telly for like a grand.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Cool.
Yeah. It's good. One other thing to mention, amazing. Brass saddles on there as well. So
of course,
it's hitting all the proper spec that we like.
Yeah.
What's neck shape? Enhanced.
9.5. Oh, sorry, 9.5 radius.
And a V neck, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a pronounced neck.
Enhanced V. So I'd imagine that means it's going to be more pronounced than a regular V, which is... could be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. They're very, very cool. Very cool. I've played both the chords that I know on one of them. And yeah, they sound good.
Good. Both chords.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Let's move on. Matt, we've heard from our industry Fender insider, Jay Cross. We now need to hear from our boss industry insider, Matt Knight. Boss, releasing a load of stuff, but I guess the big one to talk about first is the 40th anniversary Compact Collector's Box Set.
Box 40.
It's the Box 40. Okay. Yeah. You boys have, depending on who you believe on the internet, gone mad or made the best thing ever.
Yeah. I suppose it's funny, really, because we sort of knew it was going to happen.
Of course you did. You commissioned it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there is a bit of a story behind it with... I meant in terms of, like, you know, what people were going to say about the price and stuff. But, yeah, I suppose a tiny bit of history was when I was in Japan last year, they were talking about the concept of reissuing the... A vintage pedal, and then it came round to basically me suggesting that they should reissue the Traffic Light box set, and it sort of developed on from there. And
taking all the credit,
been with the development the whole way. Can't say I actually built any of them or designed any of the circuits, but yeah. So this is a reissue collector's box set of the original three Boss Traffic Light guitar pedals. Basically, everything down to the original is recreated in this, which is the first time. Like, there was a video with Yoshikami, who said that, you know, it's not the Japanese way to ever reissue anything. They only ever really look forward. They never kind of look back. So
I was going to bring that up, actually, Matt, because the interesting thing about this for me, and kind of what you guys have been doing with the Waza stuff, although it's slightly different because they're modded. When we spoke to Yoshi a few years ago, when we all met him for the first time, he sort of explained that categorically they would never, ever do reissues because they want to be pushing the technology. And, you know, they're a company who looks forward and kind of doesn't look back. And I think we all sort of said, well, that's a real shame because, you know, there is not only nostalgia around these products, but people are after the original, you know, the deal, and you just can't get them, you know.
Yeah.
Try and find a SP1 for a decent price.
Well, especially the Phaser, actually.
Oh, yeah,
What is it, the PS?
PH1.
PH1 is surely nearly the rarest.
Yeah. So what do you think's changed,
funny,
Matt?
Really. I think they, in terms of the way it's built, it's not just some, because a lot of people are like, oh, well, what they've done is they've just taken a Boss case and then they've painted it a different color. It's like they've recreated it down to how it was made in 1977. So the circuit boards inside are different to the circuit boards that you get in a normal Boss pedal.
Okay.
If they were hand wide they're hand wide bow.
You were telling me that the 9-volt input at the top actually used to be a slightly different shape. So, is different.
So the 9-volt input, like the casing is slightly different to match the casings they were originally. The circuit boards are different, so it's the same type of circuit board they used in 77. All the components have been meticulously hand matched. The PH1 was one of the first FET phases, so that uses 4 FETs in it. They're all hand matched per pedal. They're only making 1500 worldwide, and it is just, and I mean, I've had the originals, the prototypes, and the Box 40, and they're all in my office now, and I can tell you that the Box 40 is so unbelievably close.
Okay.
I don't think you would ever tell. To me, it's just amazing to see those. As a lifelong Boss fan and a kind of collector, those three, I've never owned all three of those pedals. I think I've only ever owned the SP1. And, you know, even like the OD1, the first version of the OD1 used a 14-pin chip, which was quickly changed after 77. This one uses the 14-pin chip, so no overdrives now use a chip similar to that. And I think it's just a nice piece of history. I mean, the OD1 was the first ever overdrive pedal. Overdrive didn't exist before that. It existed by turning up an amplifier. It had never been put into a compact unit before.
Matt pointed out that even down to the fact that on the OD1, over and drive are two separate words.
Two separate words.
Just because that it wasn't
never
a word.
Invented. Yeah, overdrive wasn't. Matt, my question. Obviously, the pedals are fantastic, and you know you've explained kind of how they're matching the original things. But what else is in there for like proper? Because the box is expensive. How much is it? Like 8 something?
So there'll be 759 in
okay.
the UK.
Okay. So my question is, you know, it obviously is pricey, and some of that is for the reasons that we've mentioned in terms of the construction, but obviously it's a collector's piece. So is there anything else in the box? Do you get any, like, is there a book or anything like that?
No, basically you get the three pedals, and I think we fought for a long time about what we wanted, but if you live in Europe, there might be something that me and Jay are doing for people who buy it.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that now.
Oh, God, that sounds ominous. Some Polaroids.
So
some blurry Polaroids.
What they're going to do is they're going to take your address, come around to your house and steal it back off of you.
Yeah. It's just going to include a blurry Polaroid of Matt with pedals in very, very discreet places, like covering things up. He's just totally naked, but just there's a little
Jesus.
DS1 covering the old bits.
This podcast something is that we did a couple spiral.
Something we did a couple of months ago was actually use them in the studio, and we've had a load of tracks recorded using those three, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to kind of put those out soon for people. And I mean, it's amazing because you get to hear those pedals, because people go, a one band EQ, like, it's, you know, what am I ever going to use that for? But when you actually hear it in a band mix, you hear it on top of all these songs we've done, it you know, they do sound great. And I think we kind of, considering just like the history and how they're built, obviously they're all built in Japan, stuff like that, I think they're priced as reasonably as we could realistically go. And I would have, we talk for ages about what else could be included, but you get a nice handwritten note, a really nice presentation box, and then a nice big kind of outer box. But for true collectors, I will tell you now that there's a big box, and then inside the actual presentation box is plastic shrink wrapped, and it's like the heat shrink wrap, so it's totally sealed.
Okay, so my
and
question is,
Matt, you know what serial number you've got if you break that seal. So if anyone comes to me in 40 years and they've never, they don't know what serial number they've got because they've never broken that piece of plastic, fair play. But that was the shame. When I opened mine, I was like, I'm going to have to break that plastic seal because I need to go and show it to a load of people.
So you have actually got one, Matt. That was going to be my question, is like, are you getting one of these and will you actually open it?
I think I am going to buy one.
Okay.
Because to me, it's kind of like the ultimate thing I could possibly own as like a massive Boss fan, having now worked for Boss and been involved in it. To me, it's kind of like that's a memory that will last forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it was just kind of nice to finally see them out there and work on the launch video and kind of be able to show all these people and all the positive comments. I know there's been loads online about the price and people kind of going, "Oh, you're crazy," but also receiving an equal number of kind of emails and stuff like that about people super enthusiastic about it. It's been really nice.
The key thing is when people are saying, "Oh, it's not worth that," I mean, you will sell all of these boxes, so yeah, it is worth the price because people
and the
will
thing
pay
is,
it.
People are like, you know, I'd never put it on my pedal board. No, and I'm kind of like, well, I don't think anyone who's going to buy one probably will.
No, definitely not.
You know, it is a collector's piece, and that's one thing that Boss have never really done. They've never really done collector's items, and they've never done reissues.
Yeah.
So also for those people who have always been into Boss pedals, those two things sort of never happen.
The floodgates are open now, Matty. The floodgates are open. The reissues, there's been, we've seen the Roland Boutique.
Yep.
We've seen the Wazzacraft, and now we've seen just proper reissues.
I'm waiting for my DN2 Dyna Drive reissue to come out, you know.
They've probably still got one of those in GAT.
They're probably still in stock. Yeah. So, Matt, obviously that's Boss kind of looking to the past, but they have also brought out a new product which I think is very forward-thinking. The brand new solderless patch cable kit. Now, there's plenty of solderless patch cable companies out there, but Boss's take seems to be very neat, and they've really kind of thought about players. Is that right?
Yeah. And I mean, we've got a really, really cool accessories team that are based kind of partly in the US and partly in Europe. And I've seen, I think, 6 revisions of those plugs.
Wow.
And I've been asked to check every one and kind of think how it, you know, so I've kind of, it's been nice to also have a little bit of kind of input on how those plugs are designed. But yeah, amazingly, they are the smallest footprint of any plug design.
Okay.
So the actual space they come out of the back of a pedal or a back of a switcher is really small. They work both right angled or straight.
Cool.
So you don't need to put a cap on them. You can literally just have the cable coming out straight, or you can bend it over at a right angle. There's a kind of little dip in there that you can use it for. And then, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I've had loads of the sets and test them, and I've not had a single one fail. And everyone's worked first time. So
good.
It's been really nice for that. And we're doing them in a range of different sizes. So they come in like a 2, there's like, you get enough for 1 cable, I think enough for 2 cables, enough for 8 cables, 10, and then also 12. So there's enough to build a whole ES5 switcher from one pack.
So you're saying,
which is really nice because most companies don't offer that, and you have to buy like 2 or 3 packs, which costs a lot more money.
You're able to buy them separately. You can just buy 1 cable if you want to.
You'll be able to buy 2 plugs and 1 foot of cable.
Oh wow, okay, interesting.
Yeah. And we also, for serious people out there, for kind of techs and stuff like that, we're also offering a massive reel and then a huge sort of, I think it's like 250 plugs in one bag.
Wow.
So
it's a really quick and easy system.
Everyone get online and request Matt's massive reel.
Yeah. But, I mean, designed with switches in mind, I think, ideally, that was the kind of where it came out of first, is people building ES8 and ES5 kind of rigs and making sure that, you know, we even thought about the grip on the end of the end of the kind of plug, to how easy it is to get out of pedals and stuff like that as well.
Neat. I think there's been nice. A lot of those kind of build it your own stuff where people have complained that they don't work with the ES8. So it's good that you guys are actually taking that on and producing something
that
will work.
Yeah, that was the kind of the main feedback that we sort of took on and designed, made sure that when they made sure that when they designed it, it worked really well with the switches.
Joe Branton, you are a huge avocado for Positive Grid.
Well, just for digital modelling amplification in general.
So Positive Grid have released some new stuff at SNAMM. What have they released?
So, excitingly, so Positive Grid, who are totally wicked, who managed to sort of lower the general price point on modelling amps in general, right up until Line 6 brought out the Helix LT.
Yeah.
In a similar style, I guess, if the Helix LT is kind of a pint-sized version, Positive Grid have released their mini heads.
Are you okay? You're struggling.
Yeah, sorry. I was just... I drank my beer too quickly.
A little bit of Windy Pops.
Yes. So they've released two heads in their BIOS mini series.
Well, you know what they say about two heads.
One's for guitar and one's for bass.
Good. Okay, it's the classic saying.
But yeah, they have released a modelling amp for guitar and a modelling amp for bass, which is absolutely cracking. The BIOS mini guitar and the BIOS mini bass. So they've managed to make these in a really sort of neat little Mark bass.
Yeah, there's
tiny little 1U sort of size.
They're like smaller than a little Mark, which is very impressive.
Which is great, and they all come loaded with you know, existing presets. But of course, I think it's 8 presets that you get existing on each. But obviously, you can use the app. You can use your an iPad alongside it to really deep dive into the amount of things you can control on a Positive Grid, but it comes with your standard like 3-band EQ and a gain and a master. So provided you've picked the amplifier of your choice, then it's great. I think this is an absolutely brilliant product. Like,
yeah,
they kind of... I really liked the Positive Grid head, the BIOS head, and I love that they'd made it like a vintage sort of shape and stuff, but it did make it slightly cumbersome.
It kind of goes against what they're all about as well. Like, why have all this kind of groundbreaking future tech and then go, yeah, we're just going to put it in like a basically a huge box?
Exactly.
And how much are they going to be?
I don't know. I haven't seen any pricing released for them.
I was going to say, I think the problem they've had with the bigger one is the fact that you can buy the software for like $200.
Yeah.
And then you're basically paying another $1,000 just for the power amp.
See,
so if these are more and value for money, this makes way more sense.
I think that was it. And the problem really that Positive Grid had, I think, is that if you think of its major competitor being Kemper, then Kemper designed a head that was a similar size and the same sort of power amp wattage, but you could control everything on the Kemper using its very intuitive front panel controls. Whereas the Positive Grid, and still with the minis, requires you to have your laptop or an iPad there.
Right.
In order to access any.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
the functionality.
That's always going to be the way, though, isn't it? You know, like, unless you want to put loads and loads of controls on the front of the amp,
yeah,
and you still want that full range of, you know, different amp models, different sounds, then yes, you are going to have a laptop or an app.
Yep. Yeah, that is true. But I think provided the pricing for these has come down somewhat, I think these are great products. I love that they've released a bass specific one, because it was actually when I was talking to the Positive Grid guys, and we did like a couple of videos with them for GAC, and we were sort of trying to talk about the guitar stuff, because you know we always are, because we know how limited the bass market is.
You were like, no basses.
No, I'm never like that, but. They were really like, yeah, and it's got all these bass amps on it as well. And I was like, well, yeah, that's great. Let's talk about more of these guitar things. And they were always really keen to emphasize that it did bass
stuff.
And I think, to be honest, that's why they've gone for a guitar head and a bass head.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it makes no difference. But it actually does, I guess, on these, in that the bass head is a 600-watt power amp.
Right.
Whereas the guitar amp is half of that, is a 300-watt.
I wonder if it will allow you to load the guitar presets into the bass one, though. So effectively, all you've got is a 300-watt or a 600-watt.
I assume that could well be the case.
Really?
I see no reason why not. But
well, unless the power amp's tuned differently,
they've got to be the same inside. Surely.
Well, you would think it's just a full range power amp.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's how the pedals work. I'm sure the pedals are probably all the same pedal inside. They're just like loaded with different software, and they're blocked from uploading one or the other.
I guess only time will tell. We'll have to see. But what is also quite exciting is certainly previously on Positive Grid, you could load up, I think, 5 or 6 different banks based on genre.
On what? Sorry?
Banks.
Okay.
Based on genre.
Good.
And within those, you would have 5 or 6 different amps each time.
Genre?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? What do you want me to say?
The genre.
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 Pronounce it anyway, I damn.
Yeah, genre now.
So they had loads and loads of guitar amps, but there were 5 bass amps.
Yeah.
Now, of course, part of this is that you can completely customize and save your own. You can design it. You can even, on the app, even design how it looks visually, which I think is super cool. But if they're releasing a whole head...
A hedge? Is your mouth broken?
Yes.
How many of those beers have you had?
Several.
I'd love to see.
I drank on the train as well.
Imagine if they just went, right, we've released the heads. Now, because it's Winternam, we're releasing a hedge.
That won't happen.
Positive Grid hedge.
But hopefully, because they're releasing a whole head for it, there will be more than 5 heads that you can... This is pointless. Why am I even here? I'm going. Move on to the next thing. This is a cool product. Everyone should buy one.
Yes. So from the... I was going to say sublime Joe Branton. I should say from the ridiculous Joe Branton to the sublime Fuzzrocious. Matt, Fuzzrocious dropped some new stuff at SNAMM. Summer NAMM, if you will. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is... It's basically a distortion, an overdrive, and a fuzz.
Okay.
All in one box, but with basically one volume control. So I think what's been really nice recently is that kind of I feel that Fuzzrocious have found something really unique, and they've kind of started to build on that as like their thing. So like I talked about with the Feed Me, the EQ pedal that had 4 different sets of transistors or resistors that you could kind of on a rotary switch that you could then kind of click through to get different EQ options, and they've started doing it on a couple of their other pedals. And then what they've done is they've taken that same idea, built effectively an overdrive pedal that's got 12 position rotary control, and each rotary position goes between a different set of either LEDs, germaniums, or different overdrive chips, and gives you 12 different combinations or 11 different combinations and a clean boost. And then you basically just adjust the volume to which one you want. So you've basically got 12 different pedals in there.
It sounds amazing, Matt. We haven't actually said what it's called. I just realised we never actually said name of the pedal.
It's called the Lunar Reclipse.
Okay, which is nice. So to sum up, so it's like a multi-drive pedal, basically. One, a solution for different drive sounds.
Yeah. Yeah, all completely analog as well. So basically, each rotary position just gives you a different combination of of chips or LEDs or germanium resistors that are in there. And yeah, it gives you a whole range of everything from kind of clean boost, overdrive, to high gain distortion, to kind of fuzz. Works on guitar or bass. Ryan is a bass player by trade, so he does obviously kind of really take bass players in mind as well. But yeah, it's just great. It's nice to see they're kind of finding their thing that no one else is really doing and running with it.
Do we know how much?
$155.
That seems super reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, considering that it's just him.
Well, yeah.
and his wife and his kids occasionally painting enclosures. Yeah.
I had already written this off as being sort of $250+.
Yeah, definitely. No. Definitely. So for a boutique pedal that kind of covers all of your drive options, yeah, $150 seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think just a good tonal option for like a pedal board, if you want something that does a little bit of everything, or something that you can always use in the studio and kind of get different sounds from, I think that's great. I don't know if there's like an internal gain control or anything. I don't know how it kind of works on the inside, but you've just basically got a volume control, click until you find the sound that you like and just boost it up, really.
I'm all about that. That sounds wicked. Jay Cross, you have been doing a bit of research into the brand new MXR puddles.
Excuse me?
MXR puddles.
Whose mouth is broken now?
MXR pedals, of which there are quite a few by the looks of things. So
yes.
MXR covering MXR, Way Huge, and Dunlop.
But there is one that is more important.
Well,
than the
I'm
others,
sure,
right?
But in fact, I think all of them are.
They're all pretty good.
Good.
So as usual, Jim Dunlop and the Jim Dunlop associated brands dropping loads more pedals, loads more cool stuff. So the pedal that Joe is referring to is, of course, the MXR Mini Booster. really, really exciting for them to release. You know, that fantastic booster in such a small footprint. So I'm really excited to see that.
Is that a microamp? Is it, or is it something different?
I don't think it's a microamp. It's just called the MXR Booster. So it's a new. It looks like a new pedal entirely.
I think in their blurb they said something like it combines elements of the microamp and something else.
Right.
But it's just a two knob boost, basically volume and tone, and it's in a tiny pedal.
Well, isn't it half of their overdrive and booster? It's the booster half of the overdrive.
Which
booster.
I wonder again is if that's modelled slightly on the microamp.
They've also brought out a new signature just in time.
I hate that you're doing it this way around.
In time for,
absolute troll.
Just in time to never ever be used live. The Geezer Butler signature bass wah.
So weird.
Why?
Has come out.
I don't understand. Like Ashdown released like Geezer Butler amp head as well.
Well, I guess it's just there's so much press about Black Sabbath at the moment.
I want to announce that I am releasing a brand new Wayne Rooney signature Man United shirt. So timely.
The other thing which I won't spend too much time on because they've been covered time and time
again. Don't skip over the Geezer Butler wah. What's the deal with it? You don't know, do you?
I don't know. I've closed it off now. I only really brought it up to annoy Joe.
Okay, fine.
I don't think it's spring loaded.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, was the main takeaway I got
the old Geezer can't deal with it.
Yeah, so that I think is the I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that it wasn't spring loaded. There's a bunch of new Hendrix pedals.
Yep. I thought they announced these before. Like, I've definitely seen these before.
I think maybe they're not. I don't think they all were announced this week,
right,
but
okay.
There's now like a full series. So a few years ago we saw the Fuzz Face Minis come out,
yeah,
and that was really exciting because it was a pedal board friendly size Fuzz Face, which was exactly the same except it also had a PSA input, PSU input, sorry.
Finally, you could plug a power supply into a Fuzz
and
Face.
They've now just taken that one step further in terms of it being very usable, and they've put it into a standard like Phase 90 style size box. So those, pretty much, they're all available now. So the Fuzz Face, the Band of Gypsies Fuzz Face, the Univibe Chorus, and Vibrato, which was a really great pedal, and also the Octavio Fuzz, which I don't think they've done before I think this is brand new, because I always remember really liking the old Octavio Fuzz,
the sort of cheese wedge style.
It was borderline impossible to use because it was so, so massive.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I don't think it had a power supply input.
No, they were battery only, and you had to, if you really wanted to, you could trail the battery
out of
cable
the unit
out and get an adapter, which is
just a nightmare. So that's really cool. And they've also released the Hendrix Crybaby
Looks great
in a mini version. Yeah, which is great because that I think we've talked about a number of times as being maybe the only other Crybaby that's worth getting.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's the best sounding one.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, you haven't heard the Geezer Butler one yet, Matt. But
well, actually, just talking to that, I did check, and it is auto return switching.
Oh, it is,
and comes with his preferred settings.
Yeah.
Oh,
which
okay.
is off, I reckon.
Well, yeah, now, these days, it's, these days the you actually set the wire up just on top of the coffee table so you can lean back, put your feet up and just never actually play it. Yeah.
But yeah, getting down to the business end of what MXR have released, two very, very cool pedals. First of all, we've got the Double Land Special, which is under the Way Huge bracket. Way Huge trolling everybody last year by releasing the Overrated Special, which was essentially a Dumble preamp.
Yep.
And speaking of Dumble, actually, I don't know if you saw in the Guitar Nerds forum, a colleague of mine was over at Summonam last week.
And Snam.
He was in a vintage guitar shop and found a Dumble for sale.
Oh,
for $90,000.
I couldn't believe that.
I know, isn't it crazy?
$90,000.
I know. I showed it to Maddie, the picture, and she I went, "Oh, look at that. Have a look." And she zoomed in on the tag and went, "Ha, Dumble." Thinking that was what, and then I showed her the price. And but anyway,
the person, whoever buys that, should be put into a cannon and fired into the sun.
I would definitely buy it if I had money.
Exactly. Buy it. Matt, put on the crash helmet. You're going for a ride.
So, the Double Land Special is a twin Overrated Special. So you've got two in one box, and you have the ability to run them in series, so you can go pedal into pedal. What's also very weird, and I think this again is just way huge, just really trying to have a laugh at everyone, is the controls are so bizarre. So you've got, each pedal has got four parameters: volume, drive, the 500 hertz control, and then a standard tone control
this
as well.
This is so weird. Before we start talking about this, I hadn't really looked into this pedal. And as you're talking and looking at the picture, which do go and find if you're listening,
It looks so weird.
It looks really complicated, and then
it's not at all.
No.
All it is you've got, they've just done it to wind people up, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
And also that's what an actual Dumble looks like, right?
Well, no. Basically, I think there's actually a little bit of misconception here, because Joe Bonamassa did actually put up a video, and the whole way this pedal came out was he wanted a booster for his Tweed amps because he doesn't use a pedal board anymore.
Right.
So the idea is that he basically uses four vintage Fender Tweed amps, and he just boosts the front of the Fender Tweed amp. And he was using basically a booster that I think was initially designed way back when we first interviewed Joe Bonamassa when I was working at GAC. That became the Overrated Special. And then when I saw him at the Royal Albert Hall and I was speaking to his tech, they were testing the prototype. And I think it's basically so he's got two different amounts of boost. So the EQ that you've got in there is just to kind of pick up the Tweed amp frequency, like the sweet spot, and boost it.
Yeah, but
that's not our problem. It's how they've laid it out.
They've
on the
laid
pedal.
It out just so strangely.
It's better on sliders though than it is a
sliders.
A thing,
are, sliders are very cool, but I'm sure that they've just done this to wind everyone up.
So we should
explain.
I don't know.
I reckon with Joe Bonamassa involved, I reckon they went through about 100 prototypes.
Maybe.
I reckon there's a lot of reasons they went through that.
So to describe it, with one half of the pedal, it's a very regular looking construction. You've got two large knobs and two micro knobs, and then with the with the other side of the pedal, you've just got one large knob and three sliders.
It's just so stupid.
It's really
it makes
really
it look
weird.
Way more. It looks like the sort of pedal you get out in the shop, and someone will go, I don't want to buy that. It looks too complicated.
Yeah, it's when actually, not complicated it really is, at all.
Yeah, it's just two it's of two exactly the same pedals.
And then you've got series and bypass on there. So very, very weird. I'd like to see one. I'd like to hear one. I just love this pedal because I just love the idea behind it because there's so many people who will be so annoyed by it.
Yeah.
That's why I just think it's absolutely fantastic.
Go on then, drop the big bomb. Tell us the one that you've been holding back for this whole time. Joe Branton is going red with frustration.
So we have now finally reached the epitome of what Joe Branton wants in everyday pedal construction. We have got a carbon copy with a tap tempo.
Why has it taken this long?
So carbon copy... I guess was maybe the first if you look at the four of us when we first started podcasting, our first real fling was probably the carbon copy. That was our first,
that was our big
first
thing that we
our
put,
first yeah. flur our first the apple in all of our eye.
I don't know where you're going with this.
It's basically the only product we all agreed on.
Well, yeah, completely. That and obviously Baja Telly and Blues Junior.
No.
But the this is great. This is really, really fantastic. So you've got everything that you would love from a standard carbon copy, plus some extra features. So five controls on this. You've got an added width control, which you don't have on a standard carbon copy. You've got a bright switch on
there. Hang fire, actually, because so on the regular carbon copy, you've obviously got mix, regen, and delay. This is adding is speed and width for the modulation.
Of course.
Well, that is on the carbon copy, but it's just under
it's
the
inside.
Plate.
And you just have a mod button on and off.
Completely. Yes. So you've got having everything there for you.
That's so good. That's the one thing that made me retire my carbon copy in place of the Source Audio Nemesis was that I could control the modulation.
The modulation effects on the fly type basis.
Yeah, exactly.
So absolutely fantastic. And you've got the bright switch on there, which allows you to switch between the carbon copy and the carbon copy bright. And the other thing that you've got is the ability to change the subdivisions. Which is, again, another thing that I think really bridges the gap between this being an extremely cool analog pedal and something that is extremely usable and lives up to the rigors of what a modern day guitar player wants from a delay pedal.
I think they will sell these in absolute
droves. I think so too. Do we know the price yet?
I don't think it matters.
I tend to agree. The key thing for me is that yes, it's got the regular version and the bright in there. You can control the modulation, but I mean, like you've always been saying, it's the tap tempo is what everyone wants.
There's also an expression out. I'm not sure what that does. Has anyone seen that?
Maybe
no. I was going to say, I just saw the price. I think they're going to be about £229.
Okay. What's a carbon copy these days?
159.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? For the extra, slightly bigger box, or different functions in there.
Believe it or not, a carbon copy bright is currently cheaper.
Okay, by £5.
Yeah,
that
was a bit of a fling with the carbon copy bright, wasn't it? Like, I think when it came out, everyone was like, "Yes, this is great," and then everyone's been like,
"No, I really like them. I still prefer the sound of that."
Really?
I still prefer the sound of the bright. I think it's
the carbon copies are very dark. I think that's the thing, isn't it? They are super mellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's good that both sounds are on the deluxe one. Joe, do you want to tell us about talking about things that are super dark, some new bass stuff from Supro?
Oh, yes. So this is totally exciting. So Supro, who out of nowhere have sort of sprung up with
great guitars and some basses.
I mean, so they've been making good amps since the company got sort of relaunched maybe like 3-4 years ago. But now, they've thrown their proverbial hat into the proverbial ring of bass.
Okay, good.
And they've introduced...
I don't want to be in the ring of bass. Sounds like something that you might get pulled
ring.
Up for down
no,
the line.
No, honestly, it's a good ring.
Well, you part of the ring of bass.
Yeah, why not? Anyway, so they've introduced the Huntington.
Good.
Bass. Which is totally cool. So the Huntington bass is...
why are you having such trouble saying
Huntington.
That?
Huntington. I don't know. Not sure. I've drunk a lot. Anyway, it's kind of loosely based on the Supro Pocket Bass, which was around in the 60s, and it's sort of a bit of a collaboration with that and the Azark bass, which was around at the same time.
Okay.
The It comes in three forms, the 1, 2, and 3, which directly relates to the pickups, which you either get a single pickup in a sort of precision-based central position, two pickups in jazz-based format, or three.
You got to go for
everywhere.
All three. They look so good.
So good. Like, brilliant. All passive. 30.5-inch scale, so short scale. But what's totally cool is there is, like, no end to the finishes and options you get with this. So all the models come with an optional additional piezo pickup.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can get... There are some colour options available with a piezo on top as well. So I'm sort of leaning towards the single pickup version with the piezo option. But also finishes. So they've dealt with... some people like traditional gloss necks. Some people would like the necks to be matte. So they're all like glue necks. But the actual neck pocket looks absolutely amazing for these. They're really super cool. But they
I hadn't even pictured it looking like that. I thought it was just going to be a vintage style.
Yeah, it's kind of it's like a contoured heel almost, but they've thought about modern players. So whilst this has the illusion of being totally trad, the back of the neck is done in a tasteful matte black so that they're super fast. They also do a fretless version.
Of course.
In every
I wonder
series.
Why you were smiling so much.
Yeah, exactly. But these are 30.5 inch scale bases.
Another
gigging bass. Specifically gigging bass. I can buy other things. Oh, anyway, I am buying a new bass, which I need to tell you about in a bit. But
save it for the Patreon.
Yeah, but so massive range of colours. They're doing like metallic finishes, but also loads of through finishes. All one, two, or three pickup configurations. Additional piezo, matte necks. This is actually...
That's Matt Knight.
What I thought was you can also get in all series they have body options being mahogany, swamp ash, or alder.
Wow.
Yeah.
What so you can choose on each of them?
Well, certain finishes in each.
Oh, okay, I see.
So
wow.
All of the through finishes I think are ash.
Right.
But
do you know on pricing?
No, I don't know pricing.
Nothing yet.
Nothing's hit there.
Okay.
The shops yet. But what an incredibly broad range of instruments.
Yeah.
When I sort of saw this, I was like, oh, this is all right. Yeah, this is pretty cool. They look great. I'd still buy an SG bass. I'd still buy a Gibson SG bass if they made one, you know, over this. Yeah. But yeah, this looks pretty cool. But then I actually sort of read into it, realized every option came with all these pickup options, plus piezo, plus fretless, plus finish options, plus the matte necks. Plus the bodywood options. I was like, holy hell, they must be releasing 25 basses.
Yeah, it's a lot of different SKUs, I guess. Like, if you could choose, yeah, I want it in red, and I want the fretless, and I want the two pickup version with the piezo.
And a matte neck.
In
mahogany.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, great.
It's almost as many options as Music Man.
I know, it's crazy. But I'm really excited about it. I think these look really great. I went from sort of like reading them and like, you know, they give you some spiel about like the pickups being based off original ones. So even though they're short scale pickups, they're going to have all these really crisp highs. And I was like, yeah, short scale basses with crisp highs. Yeah, right. But actually reading about the amount of effort they've put into these basses, I think these are going to be absolutely cracking. Plus, Doug Wimbish.
Oh, is the Wimb on board?
He's on
board. The Wimbmeister.
He's doing the demo video. And, I mean, if you've ever seen that man play, he puts basses through the most rigorous.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a demo of him just playing ridiculously, like, percussive stuff on it. And then he just starts, like, hitting it and, like, just winding the tuner up.
Right.
So he's, like, hitting it. So it's going...
Oh, that's one of his little tricks. Yeah, he's very good.
But, like, he's getting, like, I'm like... He's gone up like...
That's going to snap.
He's gone up a lot.
Calm it down, Wimb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he was just... He was amazing. He made the bass sound absolutely stupid, like unusably stupid, which is the way he makes all instruments sound. But the fact that you could do that on a short-scale, vintage-style bass...
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of a less appropriate person.
No, I was just thinking that. They brought out basically a really cool-looking vintage bass that's got, like, some cool features and stuff, but ultimately it's going to be, like, probably indie kids buying this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then who are you going to get to demo it? Dougie Wimbish.
Doug Wimbish. Probably the most mental man I've ever met.
Yeah. Have you met him?
Yeah, I did it. There's an interview of me on on the old YouTube. I thought he was one of the loveliest fellows I've ever met. But
yeah, I'll bet.
But also completely crazy.
Let's do one more bit of news. And this one, actually, Jay, you're going to tell us about something that's kind of close to our hearts. Close personal friends. The boys at 60 Cycle Hum have teamed up with Matt's new best friend, Leon, at Pelican Noise Works to bring us a signature pedal for 60 Cycle Hum.
Yeah, how about this? So the 5050 OOD. I'm not really sure we should be talking about this because, you know, what with 60 Cycle Hum being
competition
and everything, you know. But no, this is fantastic.
What you should do, buy one, smash it up, send us a picture of it.
Completely.
Yeah. Send it to them.
What I thought was I thought that the sort of viral marketing campaign that Ryan was running with this was really cool. He was on his way to NAMM and had this pedal with him, and he went, you know, maybe keep your eye out. And actually, he's been teasing it on the podcast for the last few weeks. But this is great. So it's actually a twin 250 style overdrive. So based off of the old DOD 70s, no, late 70s.
No, I don't think it's as old as that, Matt. You probably know best.
The old two.
I think it is late 70s.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So based on the old, based on the DOD 250s. You've got side by side. You can either stack them or swap them. You've got a couple of different controls there. The thing that I think is really nice is the you've got the ability to turn asymmetrical clipping on and symmetrical clipping on depending on which side of the pedal you're using. And it just looks great. It looks great in a fantastic orange colour. So yeah, I'm all about it. Good work, 60 Cycle Hum. Good work, Pelican Noise Works. And let's have one for demo, mates.
Yeah, they look totally cool.
I think they're going to be limited. I'm not sure whether they'll even need to send us one for a demo because I think they're exclusive. Well, they're not exclusive, but I think first dibs go to their inner circle.
Yeah.
So if you listen to that podcast, you want to support them, do sign up to their inner circle, you'll get first dibs on the new pedal.
One thing that I just on a slight personal note here, I thought I made an excellent joke in that the pedals are the controls are V and G, and I said, "Oh, does that stand for very and good?" And the only response was, "I think it stands for volume and gain, actually."
Good.
I was really disappointed.
I mean, it's a little of an obscure joke.
Which is very good.
Don't say very good.
With that, I feel like we've rattled through so much SNAM.
I'm exhausted.
News.
I hope there's not another guitar show until at least January.
No, I'm sure there's plenty.
My word.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be going to some. But what we'll do is there is actually more news that we've not covered. Plus, I want to do a bit of analysis of everything that's come out. We're going to do that over in the Patreon episode, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Support.
And I want to see some people supporting at the $1 tier. I understand $5 a month, big expenditure. You obviously do get a load of stuff. You know, you get access to all the interviews. You get an extra half an hour every week.
I send pics.
You get Joe's pictures occasionally. You get Joe's mini series, the Branton's Rant On. And that's all super cool. You've got obviously access to all the previous content. But if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I think those boys are all right, I really like the Guitar Nerds podcast, I want to give something back, what would really help us out is just donate at the $1 tier. That would help us out a lot. If we get a few of those, that just means that Joe can have a few more beers every week, and keeps the podcast
on your
ticking
own
along.
Time.
Yeah, on his own time. It also means that if you donate at the $1 tier, you get the regular episode, ad-free and early every week. And if you're feeling very fancy, like these people have been, you could always support us at the $10 tier once the space opens up. If you do so, you'll get your name read out like this. Boom, 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 Very good. You
we're
can also
getting quite good at that.
Well, I mean, for the people who pay for it, I'm sure they wouldn't say that's very good because you can barely hear their name. But
meh, screw them.
We're getting good at syncing up at the end. And the DuckTales theme apparently fits perfectly.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
I thought it was Mamba Number 5.
Oh, no, no.
That's what I was doing.
Next week's Mamba Number 5.
I was doing the leap bit to Mamba Number 5.
Should I read the names out? Yeah.
Let's just try this then. How does Mamba Number 5 go?
I don't know how it goes.
We'll work on that for next week. This week, I mean,
maybe we'll just record it and just send it to the people that.
Yeah, that's what you get for your $5, your $10.
The other thing to interject with Mark real quick is if you do have a second, just go and. Go and wing us a quick 5-star review on the old iTunes.
Always, you can do that. Yeah,
leave a comment, say top banana or up the apples and pears or news.
It helps us out a lot. People discover the show more if we go up the charts on iTunes. So, yeah, if you fancy doing that, it's not something that we normally push, but do go to iTunes, leave us a nice review and a 5-star rating. That would be awesome. If you want to join in the conversation, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can speak to other listeners to the show, you can get involved, and you can help us weed out the spammers who are just trying to plug their nonsense in the Facebook group. You can follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds, on Instagram @guitar nerds, and you can go to YouTube.com/guitar nerds videos. Loads of stuff going up there. Matt and Joe working on the newly rebranded Guitar Nerds show. Plus, you can see the top 10 lists and a bunch of stuff from shows as well. So do all that stuff basically, and then you'll be a top dude or dudette /person/whatever you are.
Self-identify.
Exactly. See you next week. Bye bye.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Farewell.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.